Good
Hey.
morning. Hey, Sheldon.
How are you, Scott? Happy New
Good.
Year.
Happy New Year. Happy 2016 to you and to everybody that's listening live or maybe later recorded.
This
It's
is
our
our
first show of 2016. All right.
party party.
Party all the time. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
So what
welcome back. It's been about a month, I think, since we did a live show because our other one was pre-recorded. And that amazes you, doesn't it, Sheldon?
I just lost connection there for a second. Are you back? Can you?
Yeah, we can hear you, Sheldon.
That was an interesting little blip.
Huh.
Awesome.
So we're back, 2016,
It's a whole
talking
new format.
whole it is. Uh-oh.
Just kidding.
I'm not ready.
Everything's new.
Yeah, our new format is pretty much like the old format. We talk about all things A Course in Miracles, and we have a different topic every month. Our topic for, or not every month, every show. Our topic for today is from the Manual for Teachers section of A Course in Miracles, and it asks, can you achieve direct connection with God? So we'll be delving into that topic for today's show. Be
Does that
reading
mean
some.
this is advanced because it's in the manual for teachers?
I guess you're right. You're right because maybe it is a new format. We're jumping out of the text and the workbook for students, and we're going right into the manual for teachers. Because Sheldon's been a teacher for many years now.
Scott's been a teacher for eons, lifetimes.
We all are, right? I mean,
Yes.
there's really no teachers of A Course in Miracles, right? I think that's kind of the
That's
bottom line. It's
Bob.
meant to be a course for each individual. And even though, yes, there's teachers out there, but it's really meant for you to interpret for yourself and to practice forgiveness for yourself so it doesn't become like a religion.
Right, it's always an internal process for each individual, right?
Yep. There's no one right way or wrong way to do this. Unless, Sheldon, you've discovered that.
The universal, this is it.
This is it. You can't do it any other way.
All right, so what do we normally do?
Let's start with some quotes, Sheldon, shall we?
Oh, great. Okay. Go ahead. You go
Did you?
first.
Okay. So again, this is from the course, the Manual for Teachers section, chapter 26. I chose the beginning of paragraph 3 from A Course in Miracles, and it is, sometimes a teacher of God may have a brief experience of direct union with God. In this world, it is almost impossible that this endure. It can perhaps be won after much devotion and dedication, and then be maintained for much of the time on earth. But this is so rare that it cannot be considered a realistic goal. If it happens, so be it. If it does not happen, so be it as well. And I like that particular quote because it kind of takes a lot of the pressure off of what does it mean to get it right, to fully awaken, be fully enlightened, because I think there's been. I know in my own mind, and I think some of the stories in the New Age spiritual world, it's sort of like if you're enlightened, you have to wake up while you're in your body and have all these magical powers and be connected with God, blah, blah, blah. And I like this section because it kind of says it could be that or it could not be that. I mean, I think I remember reading in some other books, it's like you could be living your life and practicing forgiveness and not really feeling much, but then like on your deathbed, you might all of a sudden wake up, or when you transition out of your body, you might finally wake up. You just never know when that will happen because it's not within your realm to dictate that. That is the la that last step is up to God.
It kind of reminds me of like in Buddhism, right? Enlightenment can happen at any time, in any moment. And then also even in Christianity, you have the idea of receiving salvation, that could happen. And like almost like the idea of last rites, you know what I mean? At any point in time in the whole journey, there can be that shift. And it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Our job is to practice forgiveness and leave mm-hmm. the rest up to the Holy Spirit and to God to create that final step. It's not mm-hmm. your role. You can't force it, you know, so to speak, because in our world, we want things right away. It's like, oh, I practice a forgiveness a few times. Why, you know, I should be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not done till you're done. So you just keep practicing forgiveness anytime something comes up in your experience that knocks you out of peace, that knocks you out of happiness or love.
Right, right. Cool. Okay. My quote from lesson 94, it says, I am as God created me. And then I like the second paragraph. It says, true light is strength, and strength is sinlessness. And if you remain as God created you, you must be strong, and light must be in you. I have another little thing about, for me, the light gives somebody strength, and the strength gives you courage, and the courage is what it's needed to face your barriers and your blocks and your fears that come up as you go through your path of unfolding. And that, so sometimes bringing in, calling in Holy Spirit, which is a light energy, right? Mm-hmm. That when you're working with light, and some people can see the light and work with light. So when you're dealing with light, you're dealing with something that, as you embody that light more strongly by removing your blocks, right, which is totally what the Course is talking about, that it gives you more strength. And the strength mm-hmm. provides the courage. The courage is always to go deeper within. And so that's sort of that pathway of the warrior.
Hmm. Yeah, there's so many great perspectives in the Course, basically about the same thing, which is how to continue healing and mm-hmm. healing your mind so that, again, that last step God can take, because God only recognizes itself, which is pure love, pure joy, pure peace. Thank you, Sheldon.
You're welcome. And I just twisted it all up, didn't I?
Twisted what up? Your headphones, maybe. So I think unless you have any other quotes, we can do a guided meditation.
Sure, let's do the meditation.
And again, this one's going to be pretty cool because, you know, the theme of today is direct communication or direct connection with God. And so that will be our goal for today. And we'll take it in phases. And again, if you're driving around or doing work right now, you know, definitely would not recommend participating in the meditation. Just wait till you can listen to it later. And then at any point in the meditation that you're just not feeling comfortable, then, you know, just kind of stop and just stay comfortable and then rejoin us when you're ready. So for right now, just go ahead and get comfortable, whether you're in a seated position or maybe laying down, and go ahead and close your eyes and then take a nice deep breath in. And slowly let it out. Any of the stresses or maybe thoughts that you've had from the past week, the first full week of the year, just let it all out every time that you exhale. And that as you take a deep breath in, just imagine that there's just brilliant white light coming in through every breath that you take in. And that as you take in that breath, that light goes to any part of your body that's holding tension. It goes to any thoughts in your mind that might be disturbing your peace. It just slowly creates peace and relaxation. Good. Now just take one last deep breath in, and any remaining tensions or stresses, just breathe them out. And now place your attention in your heart center and realize that within yourself is the spark of God. This is the dwelling of God's kingdom and of the Comforter or the voice, the Holy Spirit. And just notice what that feels like. Notice what that might look like, or how it might react as you place your attention there. And now allow that feeling or that symbol of light of God and God's kingdom to now just emanate out from your heart center, expanding out all around your body, completely encompassing you in perfect, pure white light. Even if you may not be able to imagine what that looks like, maybe you can just feel that's just immense peace and love just surrounding what appears to be your body. And expanding outward now, out beyond where you're living or working or wherever you may be, out around the planet, just completely engulfing, out engulfing now our galaxy, and now completely filling what we know as the universe. And by doing so, it essentially dissolves or eliminates the veil that would be between the world of the physical and the kingdom of God in heaven. And in this space, know and feel that you are home, that there are no barriers. And if this is your first time, it might be hard to imagine that, or it might be a little bit difficult to feel that, and that's okay. But just know that this is your natural state, and we're taking a step today. We're practicing some more today, that you are worthy and can be in this space because this is where your natural home is. It's not in a body. It's not interacting with all these apparently different symbols and bodies. And so now call in the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit could be a symbol, could be an energy. It could be one of the masters that has already transcended, like a Jesus or a Mary Magdalene or even Buddha. And if you're still not feeling that connection, then allow this symbol to take you to the altar of God, the altar of heaven. Notice as you walk closer and closer to this symbol of heaven, this altar, how it feels, what it looks like, the sensations you might have. You may feel pulled to this. You may feel some hesitation. All of that is okay. Just allow whatever symbol of Holy Spirit that you have with you to just take you at the pace that feels most comfortable. And if you feel comfortable, to now lie on this altar, symbolically placing what feels like your body on this altar and offering all of it to God, offering your mind to God, your body. And any symbols in your mind, it could be physical, could be things like money or cars or a career that might be preventing you from having direct communication with God all the time. Just hand those over symbolically. Just place them on the altar or throw them on the ground. Just get rid of them so that there's no barriers left. And from your heart center, just put out the intention that you wish to have direct communication, direct knowledge of God in heaven. And just sit for a moment and take in what that might feel like for you. And know that you're perfectly safe. And know that you can have this peace and communication whenever you would like. And just remember what this feels like for you. As you maintain awareness of this space, you can start to come back now and be more aware of your body, wiggling your toes and fingers and coming back into what appears to be your body. and what appears to be whatever space that you're in now. But still maintaining that awareness of the other place, your true home in heaven. This is where you really reside. And this is where your mind deserves to reside all the time. And then when you're ready, just go ahead and open up your eyes and rejoin us back here.
Whew.
Mr. Sheldon Joe.
Wow.
Welcome back.
That was awesome.
It was good for you, huh? Do you care to share anything that you felt or experienced?
It's always kind of cool how fast and how deep you can go. You know, it was beautiful. Yeah, it's cool.
Good. So, yeah, I like doing guided meditations like that, even for myself, because it's just a good reminder. I think with all the material that's out there, even within A Course in Miracles, it's easy sometimes to lose track of, you know, what the real end goal is. It's because there's a lot of talk about steps to really getting to the end goal, which is to just remember to be back with God. That's it.
And can that be reached? Can God be reached directly?
Yes, Sheldon. Yes. But yeah, the short answer is yes. That is the topic, right? And yeah, I mean, I think old school, you know, religion maybe more and more is kind of coming to that conclusion. But I mean, that would have been considered sacrilegious, right? To even consider that, because you weren't deemed worthy because you're a sinner, right? That's kind of the typical mentality is you are a sinner. And you're not worthy of that. Only, you know, like Jesus, the Messiah, was worthy of that and was the Son of God. But it was only that one body that was worthy. And that's not the case, according to A Course in Miracles, you know, because we're all part of one mind, and that one mind is still with God.
Right.
Maybe before we start jumping into the detail, just a reminder, if there are any listeners listening live, and you'd like to participate by calling in on the phone, the toll-free number to call in is 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008. And then maybe later in the show, we'll take a call.
We'll have a heart attack.
Sheldon will be blown away again.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah. So, Sheldon, have you ever felt like you've had even a brief moment, like direct contact with God?
Sure. Absolutely.
And
And I think that it's a matter of ever deepening. That's really what I feel like. It's a matter of falling further in. In the way Master Jeshua has a comment where he talks about a plum being dropped into an ocean of infinite depth. And the plum is dropped, you know, like a metal weight dropped into the water. And it's kind of funny because I remember dropping a wrench into the ocean when I was sailing a sailboat and I was doing some work on it. And I dropped the wrench, and I remember thinking I could somehow dive in there and grab it real quick, and watching it go wham, and it went so far, so fast, you know what I mean? Because it was just like a wrench, and it went straight down so fast, and I was like, whoa, that was quick. So I always have that image of that dropping in to the ocean. And then when I heard that, to an ocean of infinite depth, it's like no matter how deep the connection and how, you know, how radiant and how incredible, God is always more. And my teacher, Bishop Michael, that's what he talks about, you know, it's more. That's one of his definitions. God is more. All the love you can experience and more, and then some.
<Yeah.
laughs> You know what I mean? And so that is what my experience feels like. It's an ever-deepening process of sinking into, relaxing into grace, whatever you want to call it, and absolutely definite moments. And those moments continue to where you're walking in that varying levels of that state, right? but how deep do you go? Because, you know, just like that meditation you were saying, oh, you can remember, right? You have access to that place, but you're now in your body and you're more aware of your body, but it's being in the world but not of it, right?
Right.
So that kind of process just continues. It's interesting. I had a meditation with the Course in Miracles group Wednesday, and the only thing that came up, and it was actually silent through the whole entire thing, never said a word, and it was like, was this, there is no separation between life and spirituality.
Mm.
You know, and that there is no separation, you know, it's right. All. And it kind of fits with this, right? And with your meditation, it's all God. It's all divine. It's everything about it. And the only time you don't feel it is when you're feeling that illusion that you are actually separate.
Right.
And so releasing those barriers, releasing those veils, releasing those fears and those judgments, you know, is a process that continues, I think, even beyond the body. It just continues. But it just, you know, you have ever deepening levels of that. So, yeah, that's how
it very true. Yeah, that's why I liked the quote that I read, because it was I needed that reminder, because, you know, I'm always pretty honest about what happens with me. Like, even though I've been practicing a course, I'm really, you know, try to stay mindful and practice forgiveness, I still get in trouble where I buy into
we all do, right?
Certain reality. Yeah.
Just
and I got set off yesterday. I was leading meetings like all morning, and I had one at noon, and it just got derailed by a couple people, and it just upset me so much. But I watched myself getting upset, and I watched myself choosing to get upset and choosing to stay upset, because I stayed upset for several hours after the meeting, which is really rare for me. But it speaks to this whole process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just, at least for me, my process in the past was, and I would get cocky. I think it was my ego too. It's like, oh wow, I'm really into the spiritual stuff. I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling so peaceful. I'm feeling so happy. But then eventually that's going to come crashing in, because it's just part of the world we live in. It's part of the world of the ego. And all I can say is, you know, for those listening and even for myself, it's like, you got to be easy on yourself, because you're going to have good days and you're going to have some not so good days. And I think if you can go through the not so good days without beating yourself up too much, and just keep with practicing forgiveness, you know, with the course, it's just going to help you in the long run, and to stay connected with God and to get it, to feel the deeper connection easier and easier and easier. Because, I mean, I know for me yesterday, I eventually got over it and felt better. And, you know, as much as I was practicing forgiveness, it just wasn't going away as fast as I wanted it to. Because it just...
If you really think about, you know, years ago, how long you might have stayed caught up. It might have been days, weeks, months, you know.
True.
You know, people would have somebody, you know, say something that they felt was disrespectful or disruptive in a meeting and never like that person again. You know what I mean? And
right.
Hold those grudges for forever.
That is very true.
You know, for entire lifetimes. So even when you look at that and go, wow, I was, you know, upset for 4 hours or half an afternoon, you know, it's, you know, when you look at that as a journey, that progression, it's pretty awesome, really. Right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing about being easy on yourself, right? It's like, hey, it was just a couple hours. You know, loving ourselves, that's awesome.
Yeah, and no matter how upsetting things may look in this world, again, if you just choose to just drop what you think you're seeing and then go straight over to connecting with God, all that stuff doesn't matter. It literally just goes away.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. Of course.
Stop, drop, and roll into the arms of God.
And I think that's why, you know, the Course will say, if you try to achieve direct connection with God, like, it's good. But at the same time, your whole purpose here is that you should be healing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because your unconscious mind, the ego mind, is still there for you. And until you heal it, you could go into a cave and meditate, connect with God. But the minute you walk out, if your mind isn't healed, you're going to be disturbed by what you see or encounter with the body.
Mm-hmm. It's always about healing. That's kind of, I don't know how, I think I always I talk about healing more than forgiveness for me. That word healing, you know, just healing. Mm-hmm. There's a, mm-hmm. that's healing. Healing all the old wounds, healing all the old fears, healing the, all of those things in your own heart. You know, as you go in to the center that you were taking us into in the meditation, right? And as people do that, sometimes they'll hit the blocks. That's where the blocks lie, right? It's like,
yep.
You know, and those things come up. I think it was St. Augustine, so he's going in and said, your heart is full of depravity, kind of thing, kind of like Freud would say. And that's why he projected out into, you have to go external into the Jesus outside, and you have to, you know, accept the teachings of the church, because he went inside and felt it and didn't keep going all the way through it. And then you keep going all the way through it, you hit the divine light that's already mm-hmm. in there, you know. Seek first the kingdom within. Like you, but you do have to release all the stuff that you encounter.
Yep. Release the blocks to love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like when people reframe it that way.
Yeah.
And the Course does the same. Yep.
Yep. It's just a releasing, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are holding on to familiar fears. And that's part of that whole courage thing is that the fear, as debilitating as it can be, is familiar. And so the releasing and letting go of something like that, releasing through forgiveness, through love, through whatever the, you know, through light, through the processes that we all have to go through, and you're doing the lessons, those things are all unfolding for you. Mm-hmm. But that takes courage, because it's terrifying to step into a whole new world with absolutely no remembrance of what that's like. At that moment, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like there's no remembrance until you hit it, right? Which takes the courage to let it go. You don't know. You know, it's the annihilation. It's the, you must die before you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's to me, the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles has made a lot of sense to me, and like it's helped me to understand when I get caught up, like I did yesterday. You know, at least I can be a lot more gentler about my situation and myself. It doesn't make things easier by any means at mm-hmm. times, but at least I can understand what's happening and why it's happening.
Right.
You know. And that's what I like about it. Or understanding why I'm not able to sometimes feel that direct connection with God that I have felt, you know, occasionally, but it's always been, you know, very temporary. Mm-hmm. But it has felt, in my opinion, wonderful, or at least even if it's a step closer, it felt really good.
And in paragraph 3 of that section that we're talking about, can God be reached directly, which is page 64 in the Manual for Teachers. It's chapter 26 or topic 26 of the Manual for Teachers. And paragraph 3 says, sometimes a teacher of God may have a brief experience of direct union with God. In this world, it is almost impossible that this endure.
Mm-hmm.
It can perhaps be won after much devotion and dedication, and then be maintained for much of the time on earth. So it's definitely... to me, it's like you hit those moments that are super profound, you know, whatever you want to call them, enlightenment experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Experiences of union, of connection, of oneness, of absolute stillness. And Don Juan Carlos Castaneda, I think they call it stopping the world, that you have to stop the world. And what does that mean to stop the world? And to me, when you have those moments, the world feels stopped.
Yeah.
You know, when they're really profound and they stick out, that's what it feels like, right? It's like, boom, everything is still, or everything just feels like you're on a different level. And you know, you have those to almost like keep you going, mm-hmm. right? So, because then you go back in and you're all caught in your stuff and you're going through all this, but you remember, wow, man, I remember it's possible, or, you know, and then that keeps you going through the darker times that come up when you get caught up and you're undoing all of the stuff and releasing and going through that process and you feel like you're stuck. You remember, yeah, I did have that moment. It's possible. And so I actually think when people do the lessons, they'll have one of those moments fairly early on in the process of the lessons. And mm-hmm. I think that from a Holy Spirit divine plan aspect, that that happens to anchor in that remembrance. It's like, bam, there it is. You felt it. Yep. And then you're going to go through and dig up more stuff. So, but you have had that so that you can remember, yeah, I had it once. I know I can do it again.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of like dangling the carrot.
It kind of is, you know, which like, you tasted it, brother. You can't forget that now.
Yeah. Which I would encourage anybody, at least for me, like all realizing all these little ego traps or things, at least for me that I've encountered. I know one of the things that I've always fought against is asking for help. Or that things shouldn't be easy. I should have to work really hard for them. That's another good trick. And I think it's even pretty recently I realized, okay, if there's a cheat code, I'll take it. If there's a helping hand, I'll take it, because I don't want to keep dwelling in my egoic morass and swill, I guess you could say, forever. I want out. You know, I want to experience this eternal peace and joy and love with God. And that was a big realization. That's why I like the second paragraph in chapter 26 in the Manual for Teachers, because it talks about, you know, it says, there are those who have reached God directly, retaining no trace of worldly limits and remembering their own identity perfectly. These might be called the teachers of teachers because, although they are no longer visible, their image can yet be called upon. You know, and this is what why I think Gary Renard is visited by the Ascended Masters in his book. You know, they have stated, hey, we are part of the Holy Spirit, and we're just here as images to help you out, and this is Gary. But there's no reason to say you can't develop your own relationship with those symbols or images that have ascended as well, and asking them to help you. And maybe they won't show up physically like they did for Gary Renard, but you'll be guided through maybe intuition, or maybe you'll hear things. But I would highly encourage developing that kind of a relationship. But there's no shame in asking for help and getting help in that way. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Right. As a matter of fact, the asking for help is kind of key to the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, it is a fundamental, that's a process of surrender. And, you know, that's what I always say. That's why the 12 steps work, you know. And I was an addict and all that stuff, right? So you went through that whole process and, you know, my life's a mess. I made it a mess. I can't fix it. And, you know, I surrender to a higher power. You know, that process of releasing and asking and being open for, right, the answer from something that seemingly at that time is outside of you, right? As you're making that connection within, that's the process of release.
Yeah. And it reminds me of, like, there's games that you can play in, like, leadership training or team development training. And one of them is a game where ultimately it's teaching you to ask for help. They basically will blindfold you. They put you in, a maze that's completely roped in. They kind of give you the idea that there's a way out. And it's interesting how many people – and they say, you know, there's two rules. One is you can't talk to each other. The other rule is you can ask for help. And then they go. And then it's, you know, minutes, several minutes of people feeling around until finally someone will stop and raise their hand. You can hear them asking, I need some help. And then you don't hear from them again. And then people keep going and keep trying to, you know, do it all on their own.
Right.
And eventually, you know, it's like the last person everyone's watching, just they refuse. And then finally, you know, it's like it could happen all day, every day, and they'll stop the person and go, hey, the game's over. You missed it. It was such a good, I mean, I was maybe in the middle of the pack by the time I got it. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to ask for help. Oh my gosh, you know?
Right.
But it was so hard to get to that point of asking for help. And it's such a great lesson.
That's awesome, actually. Yeah.
It's simple. It's so simple and easy. I mean, this can be easy if you allow it. Even when you're in like the darkest days of your life, it's being completely honest and open and going, I need help. Mm-hmm. And the more you can develop these relationships, I think the easier it can be for you.
And I think that's why a lot of times people in the 12 steps have such profound awakening experiences, mm-hmm. is they're so down. They've got nothing. You know, people that are literally on the street that have, you know, they've totally annihilated any kind of connection into this normal world, right? Mm-hmm. Through the process of addiction or whatever, and relationships are destroyed. All kinds of stuff is destroyed. And so they are literally at zero when they ask for help, and myself included when I got there, right? You know what I mean? Like that point, when you get there, that's a real release. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you have a real release, you have a real response.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit, God is always there. You will always have a response. When you give something up, you will get back and more. That is, you know, kind of divine law that you release and you get back more light. You just have to let go. You have to make room for it, right? That's they talk about in other teachings, right? Making room for love to flow in. But you have to let go of all the blocks, you know. And that's another way of putting it. But definitely you see that the more profoundly you can release and trust, and I think there's an aspect of trust that comes in, which comes in with the whole courage and fear and all that, that, you know, that's why it's always like a layering process, because mm-hmm. it's really difficult to do all of that at once in one fundamental and it's all done and you're done. It just doesn't normally happen like that. It happens in layers, you know, and it's always getting bigger layers and deeper layers of release. I think one of the other tricks that people will do is they'll sort of surrender, but it's like a negotiated surrender. It's like bargaining, right? It's just mm-hmm. like, show, you know, here, I give this to you. Show me what I can do to fix it. So it's a way of pretending like you're kind of surrendering, but you're really not, because mm-hmm. you're really saying, I still want to be the fixer. You know,
yeah.
I will fix it, but show me what I got to do. Give me guidance to fix it. Versus really just surrendering and saying, I have no idea. mm-hmm. You know, you take it. And then you're releasing agenda. You're releasing egoic framework of control. And that's the scary part.
Yep. But
when that happens, it's definitely a more profound response.
Yeah, I love the simplicity of like the 12-step concept, which is let go and let God. I mean, maybe the course's version would be let go and let the Holy Spirit heal your mind, but it's basically the same thing. It's admitting, it's getting to that admission level, right? Of like, okay, I'm not doing a good job here, which is really hard. That first awareness level of, okay, I'm not doing this very well, which is hard because at least, especially the world like I work with a lot of technical people, engineers, and you, that whole world is run by, you can't be wrong because it means right. death. It means the death of my career. Or I look bad, you know, it's like, but the Holy Spirit wants you to admit like I'm wrong. I'm not able to do this.
When you look at like Helen Schuckman, in Bill Tetford, right? I mean, where the course came into being was in academia in the ivory tower, which is really, and they talked about, right, in the story of how the course came to be, mm-hmm. that is a place where you are super invested in your ego, right?
Yep.
And how smart you are right? And so they have, you know, your positions and your papers and your theses and all those kinds of things that you've researched and you've proven that you're right. And so if somebody comes out with another paper that might say something different or contrary, you know, you're completely, your whole identity is invested in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
It can be a really, really combative sort of environment. And that's what they were experiencing. And my dad was a professor, so he used to talk about that. You know, it's like huge egos. I mean, that, and they're very frail.
Yeah, right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? They're very frail, right? So, and so the battles that would go on for who was right and who was wrong and why and what, whatever, even in the whole process of tenuring a professor and all those kinds of things is really, really, you know, and that's true in all aspects of the world, but definitely as, you know, the ivory tower in academia is super invested in all that stuff. And so it's kind of an interesting thing when you look at that's where the Course in Miracles even started, was born right into a place that was super invested in egoic thought process.
Yep. which is the perfect place. I mean,
exactly. How cool is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, and that's why, you know, I know for me, I had abandoned like the corporate world, but I've realized, you know, going back, it's the perfect place to be practicing A Course in Miracles version of forgiveness. And just like you talk about, Sheldon, like where you work in the body repair shop. I mean, just those environments dealing with customers and employees, perfect place to be practicing spirituality and forgiveness.
Because there is no place where it's not appropriate, right?
Exactly.
So it doesn't, that kind of has been hitting me on another level, in another layer. Like I was saying earlier, the whole meditation yesterday or Wednesday, with just another layer of deepening into the arms of God, whatever you want to call it, deepening into trust and release, mm-hmm. and just in beingness without any divisions anywhere in your life. You know what I mean? It's just like, yep. you walking in grace always, and allowing that to come through, because that's what it is, right? It's always a process of forgiveness and allowance of yourself, allowing light to radiate through. It's cool.
That is true. Yeah, I don't know. This was kind of a random thought, and it's something that I had remembered in a while, and I don't even know if I've told you this one, Sheldon, but I remember, I think probably what really helped me move kind of forward out of, I would say, my 20s. I was a pretty negative person, especially, you know, starting to work in corporation. I was very negative, pretty much had abandoned relationship with like God and spirituality and religion, any of that stuff. But I remember finally realizing that I was pretty miserable. Things weren't working out very well. And I remember at one point just having and I would never look at myself in the mirror. And one day I just looked at myself in the mirror and I just said, you know, I want God back in my heart. And it was very simple, but very profound. And like, I just felt like this, I could feel like something physically had happened. And, you know, of course, started crying. Probably not as much as you, Sheldon, but I'm
feeling it right now.
But that was huge. And that's kind of like the whole, you know, let go, let God, or admitting like that final, it's like I had all these barriers and just walls up that were preventing me from being a happy person to begin with. But then just to openly go, I want to have that connection with God again. It was so, it was big.
Yeah, that's huge.
And I know that's happened to several people that have, it's like sometimes you go from one extreme to come back, you know, to that, I guess, that path of peace. But man, that was big for me. And it, like I don't know baptism. Why I forgot it. Yeah.
It's like a baptism right there in that moment.
Yeah.
That is a true, you know, and it's a water baptism. The tears flow down and bam, that is a release.
And that's kind of what the Course is encouraging you to do, is keep connecting back to God, to Father or Mother, whichever works better for you, and just remain in that state of mind and then be aware of all those barriers that are preventing you from being in that place. And then that's what the forgiveness tool is for. To heal your mind.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. Awesome, awesome.
So are you, I guess with the time that we have left, like maybe we can just spend a little extra time just talking about some of the stuff that you're doing with your course group these days, Sheldon?
We are going to start actually listening to The Way of Mastery,
mm-hmm.
once one Wednesday a month. The Way of the Heart, which is the first year's work. It's just a one a month kind of lesson, so we figured we'd take 1 hour and listen to it. But we're just continuing on, and Wednesdays 7 to 9 p.m. at Arts Unity Movement Center, which is 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, if anybody's around and wants to check it out. Definitely, you know, come on by. So, you know, it's a good group. It's been probably anywhere from 4 to 7 or whatever. It varies, but we are all just, you know, plugging away. We do a meditation in the beginning. We'll read a section and usually just start talking about the section, and then people will start talking about what's coming up in their lives. Because obviously awesome. it's all about what you're doing in real time that really makes a difference for you, that brings in those experiences.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Way of Mastery. I noticed there's one of the core study groups in the Seattle area. They're doing that in their group every week now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the Queen Anne groups, I think. In fact, you're going to be blown away, Sheldon. I'm going to go to my first study groups in years.
Wow. Week.
Yep.
For Course in Miracles?
For Course in Miracles, yeah.
Awesome, brother. That's yep. going to be fun.
Yeah, I was tired of waiting for you to start to put up a...
A digital Skype.
One. So, gosh, I got to venture outside of the world of Sheldon. I'm scared. I have to forgive that.
That's awesome, though. That's awesome. And you know what? It's really funny. We had a board meeting for Arts Unity Movement, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, and it's still floating around there. And I am feeling that urge and call. So you'll get all attached to the group, and I'll say, no, we're doing this one. But it's still out there, and I'm trying to move it. So
let me know if you need help. We'll get that going.
Yeah. At this point, we our lease might be running up, so we're not sure when we're going to. So that's part of the issue at this point. We're in the middle of negotiating a lease extension. So.
Oh, okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Just
some good thoughts there.
Mm-mm-mm.
So cool. Course study groups, highly encourage those. They're a great way to just get out and meet fellow course students and discuss, and then not take people's opinions too seriously when you're in those groups. Again, it's meant to be a self-study course, so, you know, make it what you will.
My thing is always, you know, it is ultimately about opening the heart.
Yes.
You know, we are stuck in the mind, in the thought process, so the course is very mind-based because it has to start where you are at, which is in your head.
Yep.
It's taking you into your heart. It's taking you out of your head into your heart, ultimately.
Yep.
And sometimes
go ahead.
Sometimes people make the course a head project, right? It becomes mm-hmm. an intellectual study of intellectualizing, understanding, being able to quote, being able to know without ever experiencing in the heart. And so that's, you know, to me, like one of those kind of little side alleys that sometimes people will get stuck down for a little bit that you'll see.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, even like a course group is a great opportunity to practice forgiveness and you know, deal with maybe some personalities that are difficult. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think this was back when we were starting out, Sheldon. Like I think there was some gal that just didn't seem like she was quite all there, and I think some of our fellow students are like, yeah, can we kick her out? Like, well, no, that's kind of the perfect, you know, opportunity to practice forgiveness. And I think she just left on her own. I mean,
she did.
I know.
That was my recollection.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting experience for everybody to go
through. For sure. And then when you have those as, you know, being quote unquote, oh, I'm supposed to facilitate this thing. What am I supposed to do? You know, do I shut them up? Do I shut them down? Do I not? Do I allow them to distract everything? I mean, that kind of is the same idea that happens to me in the shop. You know, do I allow this person to continue to complain and gripe and badmouth somebody else? Do I stop them? Do I have to, is it real? Mm-hmm. Do I have to stop the other person? They're saying, oh, this person's not doing their job right. Do I need to go talk to them? Or do, you know what I mean? There's always those place. I mean, it is, there's no difference. You know, you're never not doing your work, really. You're never not divine. You're never not light. So accessing that, remembering that, you know, coming from that place, always, you know, it's that's the trick, really. Yeah. I like the, you know, my little saying, like, you know, if you're not in peace, it doesn't matter what you do. And if you are in peace, it doesn't, you know, do whatever you want. It's kind of, that's kind of one of the things that I came up with a long time ago. It's like, because you're always, you know, it's about that radiant peace. It's not what you do. It's where you do it from.
Yeah.
You know, the action, the physical manifestation of that, we don't know what that will be. And that's kind of open to the Holy Spirit's direction and to guidance. Because sometimes you can release stuff and the way in which the solution, seeming solution, whatever you want to call it, manifests is completely, you know, blows your mind. Like, wow, I didn't expect that, you know. Or you can say, what am I supposed to do? And you'll say, hey, fire the guy.
Yeah, okay, right.
You know, okay, and then you do it, and then it's beautiful. You know, yep. The guy's happy, everyone around's happy, and I've had that happen, you know, a bunch of times, and all kinds of different things. So, yeah, it's that whole integration and embodiment, and yeah, I feel like a record. Stuck. Same thing.
Well, I mean, that's kind of really what the course does. It's saying the same things over and over again, but just slightly differently, because it's addressing all the different ways the mind works and gets caught and trapped. So, that's kind of why, you know, I've started to value the concept of repetition. You know, like you think about someone that is really good at playing an instrument, and it's because they've practiced over and over and over again to the point where it's just automatic.
Right. So true. You know, you see somebody on stage and you watch them perform and you go, wow, they're amazing. Look at all the talent they have. And then they go, you didn't see the thousands of times they did that over and over again, you know, from the time they were 7 years old or whatever, right?
Yep.
To make it look like it was nothing on stage.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
That is true.
Yep. It's all about practicing. Let's see, the time we have left. I think I'll just mention, I think I did earlier, you know, I wrote a book about my experiences of practicing.
Inc.
Yep, Forgiveness Inc.
Awesome.
So it's all about practicing forgiveness and A Course in Miracles while
Secret
you're at day
spirituality
job.
At work.
That's right.
Awesome.
And it's available on Amazon.com, I think BarnesandNoble.com if you have Nooks. Very quick, very easy read, just kind of summarizes a bit of A Course in Miracles. And then my hope is that it gives enough practical information of how you practice, really practice forgiveness in your mind while you're at your day job so that you can practice your spirituality while you're doing your work, your what appears to be your career. Even though we know the real job is forgiveness.
I handed out 5 copies to the people at work at ACIM or the group, and they're reading it, I think, right now, and people were making good comments about it. They're really enjoying it.
Okay.
So, and I think, yeah, it's very, it's a practical, real world. This is, you know, rubber meets the road kind of advice and experiences and sharing. So it's beautiful.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, of course.
Anything else going on at AUM before we end for today?
We are having a Transcendent Dance next Saturday, a week from today at AUM. So you can go to our website and check it out. And that should be fun. It's going to kind of modeled after those types of ecstatic dance experiences, drug and alcohol free. And yeah, so we're doing one of those. That's coming up, and we're in the process of redoing our website. So all kinds of cool stuff going on for AUM.
Excellent. And before we leave, so then there's a few ways you can reach us. You can reach us at ofcourseradio.com. You can reach some of my work at forgivenessinc.com. And then Sheldon, how can they reach you?
Artsunitymovement.com.
Excellent.
Awesome. So there we go. First show of the new year. Yay!
First show of the new year. So everybody enjoy and enjoy forgiving and practicing Course in Miracles.
And again, thanks for listening,
either in the present or in the future. And we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. You take care.
Everyone take care. Bye.